Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. Man, we've got a full crew. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is Jane Fawcett, Sarah Wells, Casey Jackson, and in order, the lowest on the totem pole, Kevin Tinkin.
Aw, Kev Dog.
I gotta hold you guys up, you know what I mean?
That's right. Now, hey, really quick, before we start, a good minute and a half ago, Jane pulled me aside and she whispered in my ear and she said, I need to share two things on the show, like, or else.
Okay,
I
was like, so, all right, so what are the two things? I would love to give a spout out to, drum roll, guys,
Bill Cosby.
Stacey Belmont. Did you know Stacey Belmont is an avid listener?
No, Stacey,
I love you. My life would not be the same without you. Aww.
And now, what is your second
XOXO? Second thing, Christian, guess who won March Madness?
Kentucky.
What's their mascot?
The Wildcats.
Yes. Oh. All about the Wildcats.
The only school in the nation with Wildcats is there.
That's
right.
There you go.
Actually, Arizona Wildcats, right? Yeah. So,
guys. Well, there's two.
Guys, Casey Jackson is in the building.
Yes.
And if you don't remember, last week we had Casey Jackson on the show. Sarah Wells was not here, so
I wasn't. So we're just going to redo the show for me right now.
No, Casey, this is the first time ever that we've had a guest twice in a row.
Ooh.
Did you know this?
No.
Whoa.
Now I wanted to.
Yeah, I did.
Wait, what about Jeff Bachman?
He just came one time.
Really?
I thought there was a part two.
There was a part two, but it was the same day.
The same day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Now the one thing about Casey, I don't know if you knew this, Casey. I don't know if you keep up. Well, first of all, what did you tell me today when I asked you about being on the show? I said, Casey, would you like to be on the show? And what did you tell me?
Absolutely.
That's with excitement.
And then what did you say? Come on, Casey. It was funny.
Just about, like, I think I'm finding out that I'm narcissistic and...
Yeah. Casey enjoyed hearing himself on this podcast last week.
I wouldn't say I didn't enjoy hearing myself. I enjoyed being on it.
I just imagine Casey sitting on the couch listening to this podcast going, that was good.
Casey,
good
pod. Don't feel bad because I put my favorite episodes of The Spout that I'm on my iPod or my iPhone. And when I'm at the gym, pop, go in the headphones. And as I'm working out, I'm like, funny.
You listen to the same ones over?
Yeah, 4th of July episode all the time.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
I don't ever listen to this girl.
Now, I don't know if you guys knew this, but I don't have a way of keeping track of how many listeners we actually have, and I'm always surprised when I hear new people that listen. But as far as views on the website, and when you view on the website, people don't just typically go there and read or whatever. They'll listen to the show, whether they listen to the whole thing or not. Now, it took us about 3 weeks to get upwards towards 200 listeners on the Kingdom Come episode with Dom, which was heavily promoted.
Mm-hmm.
This was just views on the website. And then you guys promoted our show a while ago on Facebook, and it took 2 weeks to get 230 views of that episode. And Casey Jackson was on the show last week with minimal to no promotion. 210 views
in one week.
So, well, I have a feeling that was because it was explaining the April Fools.
Whatever the gimmick is, I'll take it.
Casey told all his friends and
probably
family.
Probably like 150 of those views are just from Casey.
Yeah. Refresh.
This is good. Good pod.
210 unique people?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's how the analytics work on the website.
To be fair, not everyone's unique that gets on there, but.
Psalm 139.
We got a good show for you guys today. We're gonna debrief a little bit of the Easter messages. We're also gonna talk about Clovis campus launch, and then we will head into another interview with Casey Jackson. And if you came to church this past week, you may have noticed some art panels along the walls. We tried to get Chris Hensley to come in here, but he is doing something very nice for somebody else today. So we got second in command. We got Casey Jackson to talk about the art panels that you may have seen this past Sunday, or you will see, and then we'll close out the show with some announcements.
Are we going to talk about the sermon?
I said the Easter sermon.
Oh.
Did I not say that?
Ugh.
I don't know.
I don't think you did.
I kind of zoned
Dave
out.
Dave is giving me a thumbs up right now, guys.
Well, sorry, fell so, asleep.
Yeah.
You must have said all it really right. boringly.
Since we've kind of gone through all the music of everybody's favorite songs yeah. and...
No, we didn't do our favorite songs. We did songs that people would hate.
Right.
So and we need so to come I up- just felt like I needed to defend myself because I chose horrible songs, but because I was just trying to meet the criteria.
All right.
Well, I would like to say that there was 200 listens last week, and it was my week to do music. So
right.
I'm just saying, you got to funkify it. You know what I mean?
Well, we'd love for our listeners to email us in with any ideas on what type of music to play, like some sort of cool way of doing music over the next couple of weeks. But for today, we're just going to play a band that I like. It's their name's Cartel, and they've been around for a while. But if you email us in with some ideas for what type of music to play, let us know, and we will do it.
Hey, did you see that your new boy band's coming to Save Mart Center in, like, September?
Tickets are already sold out.
Oh, dang.
What?
Yeah.
For O-Town?
No, it's One Direction. The new One Direction.
All right, so stay tuned for some music, and we'll be up next with some sermon discussion and some Clovis Campus chat.
All these stupid, silly songs keep trying to catch your ear. I'm trying desperately. It's just so hard to persevere. And even if you listen, I never had much to say. 'Cause it's the same old song I've written for a day.
See, the interesting thing about the resurrection, by the way, is it's one of the most proven facts in the history of the world, but people still deny it. You know why you deny it? Because you have to. Because if you accept the resurrection of Jesus, then he really is God, and that has huge implications on how we live. But see, the reality is we'd like to have the notion of a God with no implication of our life. So I like the concept of a deity. I just don't want him to mess with how I live. Well, if Jesus rises from the dead, then... It implicates us.
He said the word us. All right. Sorry. I made the clip bad. Guys, I'm not Dave Johnson, okay? Can you guys
just
forgive me?
Once, Christian.
All right. Well, that was a clip.
Grace for one time.
That was a clip from Brad's sermon on Wednesday at midweek, and then he also gave the same sermon at the 5 o'clock service.
He actually changed it up.
Wow, there you go. So that's the only clip that I have, so that's why we played it. But you may have heard a different clip on Sunday. Kevin, you said you went to the AM services.
Yeah. Christian just burped.
This is our serious segment, Christian. You're burping.
Yes, I went to the 11 o'clock at North Campus. And
PJ spoke, right?
Yes, PJ spoke.
Okay.
And in addition to his handsomeness, you know, he did a great job just going over stuff.
Good.
And just going over stuff. I'm going to be extremely vague. You know, so what he did was he talked about Jesus, you know, and the Lord, and it was Easter. So, you know, he referenced Easter as a joke a little bit with bunnies. It was great. Sermon discussion, everyone.
Jane, what service did you go to?
I sat in at the 5.
Okay. As just a member of the church.
Yeah, I usually do that one service on a Sunday since I work all day.
Now, so you heard a different message than the one that was on Wednesday. Do you know how it was different? Did you hear the midweek one? Or
I didn't, okay. But from what Brad said, he had changed it up and did it more of like how he did last week, like the 24 style of leading up to through the crucifixion or before and blah, blah, blah. He did from the resurrection on. So like when the disciples saw him and
he
all
did that
stuff.
On Sunday night.
Yeah. He did like another like 24 type hour to hour sort of thing.
Yeah. He more so at the Wednesday night service, he didn't do necessarily that.
Yeah. And it sounds like what they recorded at the 5 will be what we podcasts from our website.
Nice. Yeah, Dave's giving us a thumbs up. So interesting. Yeah. Good. That's good. Well, yeah. Then I got the wrong clips. Sorry, guys.
No, you got the midweek clip.
Now, Sarah, what service did you go to?
Clovis 11.
Okay. And who taught at that?
Jared
Rumley.
And he did a great job. I thought it was just fantastic. He just shared the gospel boldly, but not, I feel like when you are preaching, like just plain old gospel, like you could be mean about it or be nice about it or be wishy-washy or bold. And I feel like he did such a great blend of being bold and not apologetic, but not mean.
Yeah.
Like he was nice and told straight truth.
How do you be mean when you're telling the gospel?
Oh, like you're a sinner going to hell. Turn or burn, yeah. Kevin.
I guess I don't see that as mean. I just like.
I mean, it's truth, but yeah. I mean, I just heard it delivered in not a great way.
Right.
And so I felt like his delivery was really good.
I guess it's kind of mean.
Now, Casey, what service did you go to?
We went to the 9 a.m. at North.
At North.
Yeah.
Is that your standard service?
That is, yep.
That's probably why I don't see you.
Yeah.
Because I'm always working the 9. Mm-hmm. So PJ taught, I'm assuming, at the 9 as well.
Yeah.
And then over at Fig, Dave taught as well. I was not there.
Yep, that's true.
You know, I had an interesting conversation with my brother-in-law, who is a fan of the show, sometimes listens. And we were just chatting about my home church. Well, I'm sorry, not my home church. Lacey's home church, the church I worked at before here. They kind of put on a big Easter production, and it's kind of a big ordeal. And then they go to a different church, and their church does a big Easter ordeal. And, you know, it was interesting because we were chatting, and he's like, so no work today. And I'm like, actually, like, our junior hires don't have service on Sunday, and it's a great opportunity for them to spend time with family and be in service with them because we don't really do anything special. I feel like it's just a standard service.
Mm-hmm,
right. I don't know what it was like at other places. We'll get to Clovis in a bit, but for the most part, it's kind of a pretty standard Sunday, right?
Just more people.
Yeah,
just more people. And my thought process was like, if somebody really wants, Brad would call it the dog and pony show. then like there's churches all down knees that you could attend if that's what you want.
Yeah.
And I think it was just like, I appreciate that the Well doesn't do anything elaborate. And we just like Sarah said, shoot it straight. And it's just like, here's what it is. And go home, be with your family, enjoy yourself. This shouldn't be the place where like you only talk about the fact that like he is risen at church, and then like it should infuse itself at home and all of the above. And I feel like they take away from the beast of Easter, and they just go, it's a service. This is the greatest holiday, you know, and for us Christians' lives. And it's like, it should not only be celebrated at church, and we don't need to pour our entire year's budget on one service.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel like it's a bait and switch. Like,
this
is how, you know, we want to get all these people in. We know that they're coming. And then we try to make it very kind of, you know, huge in production. And then the next Sunday, then it's kind of like, it's like a, you know, a crash or, you know, it's like.
No, totally. And I mean, I've heard that story from people, the church I came from, they do this elaborate week of Christmas. It's like a Christmas production, and they do it Monday through Friday.
Did you know?
Yeah. And like 10, 20,000 people attend this thing. And then their Sunday the following week is like, you know, 4,000. And then the next week it's 3,000. And then they level back off to 2,500, maybe nab 10 people out of the 20,000 people that show up. And I'm like, it's interesting that you do that and you find it effective. Mm-hmm. I disagree with it, but I don't necessarily. I can't theologically say, well, that's awful. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just we as the Well choose to do differently. And I think that people choose to go to the Well on a Sunday because they go, I don't want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's legit if you could put on that production every Sunday. But like to go, like I would never want to be like I would never go and see. This is a horrible example. It'd be like I'd go and I'd be like, I want to see a Christian Warren movie. I go and it's Avatar. And the next week I go and it's like Pineapple Express. I'm like, these are completely different movies, you know, and it's like saying it's the same thing.
Right.
Like, why are you going if it's so different? You only go. So then it's just like, well, I'll just only go when they have the big productions and I won't go the other times. Now, with that being said, I've been to some of them. They're pretty good. I mean,
totally.
Jesus walks around slow. He's got his palms towards the sky and he's smiling. And that makes me feel good.
No,
you always have to one up yourself the following year, though.
Right.
That's just the lame part. Okay, what are we gonna do now to like catch their attention?
Yeah. I think it's funny. Like the Well has tried on Christmas, tried to do something elaborate, or tried to do something big, or try and just do something a little more than what we normally do. And every year it just seems to flop. And it's like, we've done things. It's like, yeah, that didn't go over so well, or that wasn't good. And so we just always revert back to simplicity over more. That makes sense.
They just, you got to have Jesus walking slow with his palms out. Like I said, if you don't have that, it's not going to be good.
No, I appreciate that about our church, and I thought it was interesting that I had that conversation. And you know, he comes from a different style of church and different background, but I think it struck him like, that's weird that you, he basically said, so you guys don't care about getting new people to come to your church, and like, this is maybe the one time a year you get to evangelize. It's like, well, other churches are doing it and they can go to those ones, and we're gonna provide an alternative.
Shouldn't we be just as excited about evangelism any Sunday? Like,
right.
I mean, that's what I think. Like, it should, we should be just as eager to share the gospel on Easter than on, and I know there is more people coming through our doors, so we should be aware of that, but we should be just as eager every Sunday to talk about it.
I feel like that's one thing too that draws people to the well, is the truth that is boldly taught. So if we're doing it and it's been working all this time, why change it for Easter when we have a good thing going for us?
Well, the gospel is presented throughout the entire Bible. So if you're in Corinthians, if you're in, you know, Revelation, if you're in Genesis, like the gospel is presented in every book and somewhere. And I think we do tie it in a little bit. Now, the place where I'll agree with your brother-in-law, or, I mean, not that he was necessarily taking a stance, was he?
No, we just were having a casual conversation.
Yeah, what would be that, because we don't have an altar call ever, and we don't have like a, like, hey, this is, I mean, we do present the gospel, but
it's never like an event.
Like junior high or high school camp where they're like, you know, mountaintop experience. Or, and I wouldn't want to see us do that, but I can see how somebody would be like, okay, look, all year you never have like a super hardcore like, what do they call it? Seeker friendly services. Maybe you could have for these big events, you could have a couple of seeker sensitive. It's two S's, double S, seeker sensitive. But I don't know if I like it, but I can see the point of view.
The part that I can get behind with the big like productions and stuff, because I grew up at a church, we did do a lot of productions, and it gave a lot of opportunity for people who are musicians or people who like to act or whatever to use their gifts at the church.
Right.
And so that was really cool. And they really were great productions, but they were presented as a production, not as a, this is our typical service. Oh, no, wait, just kidding. Like it was a come to our Christmas musical, and you knew you're walking into a musical, and it was... people loved it because it was just, you know, people got to sing a solo that they wouldn't normally sing a solo.
It's a free show. It's a free concert.
Yeah. I feel like that's extremely personal for you too,
Sarah. Because I did this my whole life and I don't get to do it anymore.
It's like you love musicals so bad. I do. And somebody, me, got to sing a solo. And somebody, me,
I wasn't
got to
thinking
some...
of myself, but I could definitely fit in that category.
There was a bit of a... we won't call it a dog and pony show, but we'll call it a bit of a madhouse going over on at Clovis this last week. Mm-hmm. And Sarah, why don't you give us an update on what's going on over at Clovis? If you were there on Sunday, you must have seen the new campus, but give us an update on what's up at Clovis.
Well, we moved into that building October 10, 10, 2010, 10. 10, 10, 10, 10. And it used to be a gym, and then it was a different church before us. And so there was a big giant room that we were using as a sanctuary, and we recently just remodeled it for the last 10 weeks. It's been under construction to make the giant sanctuary smaller, and we added more kids connection rooms, and we changed the stage, we changed lighting. We actually have lighting now. We pretty much just had fluorescent on and off switches before. So we were closed the sanctuary for 10 weeks, and we met in the lobby and had church in the lobby. And it was so cool meeting in the lobby. Our numbers actually grew over that time. We thought that people would start going to other campuses for those 10 weeks, but our numbers went up, which was awesome. And everyone was just such great troopers. It was great. So we kind of had the unveiling of it on Sunday, and it was beautiful, and I personally love it. I think
it
looks
standing
awesome.
Room only.
Yeah, were packed on Sunday.
That's so cool.
People had to park 10 minutes away at the movie theater.
And so we had to bring chairs out after service even started to give more seating for people. Man, so it was really cool. And then Jared gave a great message. It was just overall really
great.
Who
led worship? Chris?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was just a great Sunday. A ton of kids, a ton of people.
Yeah.
And it was fun watching all the kids. I don't know if you guys saw this at your campuses, but people coming in, like, their cute hats and their Easter dresses. And it was so fun.
It kind of made me think of when I was a little girl and, like, the frilly, like, fluffy dresses with the lace socks and, like, my first heels. It was such a big deal.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry, just grilled out.
Yeah, I think I have a bad taste in my mouth from my mom, but, like, I will never make my kid wear an Easter outfit. Like,
really?
No.
If I have a girl, though, that's, like,
she'll want to.
She'll love it.
Yeah.
And Lacey will make her look so cute. Lacey can do it.
But me, I will never have that conversation. It's Easter. You better put on your Easter outfit.
But
I'm not going to be a terrible father. Like, let's just get that out of the picture here. But, like,
what if you could do, like, a crazy, like an Elvis type outfit on, like, your 6-year-old? And, like, bedazzle, he's risen in the back.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, just go over the top.
Did you ever see the movie Big Daddy?
Yes.
Like, the kid, he didn't know what to wear. And so,
By the way, I just have to say, it's been too long since you've done this, so continue.
Since I've done what?
You used to do this all the time, and I miss it so bad.
No, this is, the movie reference or what?
You ever see Fish Called Wanda?
Wait, A Fish Called Wanda is a movie, right?
Yes.
He did it with Men in Black a long time ago.
All right. Last week, I think. To Casey, right?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Free Willy.
Well, anyways, in what was the movie I was talking
Big
about?
Big Daddy.
Remember, he has his kid, and he, like, tells him what he can wear, whatever he wants. So to school, he wears, like, a raincoat and rain boots one day. Yeah. And then, like, I'm not going to be that guy, but, like, I feel like I was put so much pressure on looking very good at church as a kid. I have this horrible taste in my mouth about it. And I want to go in the opposite direction. So, but maybe, you know, I'm working through this in counseling, guys.
It'll be.
It's like, this is not.
No, not again.
Casey did Noah wear a special outfit yesterday.
Noah had a tie. Yeah, he had an Easter tie.
Oh, so see, good. I'm going to be a terrible father. Yeah.
Noah's a good dresser.
He is.
Maybe your wife dresses him.
Now, Kevin, did your kids wear nice clothes?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Okay, maybe I'm in the.
Wore jeans for my first Easter Sunday ever. But wow. I have to say, I made up for it in my leopard flats.
Now, Sarah, at Clovis, we walked through it on Tuesday as a staff.
Yes, we did.
And when we were in there, Brad pointed up at the ceiling, and he was very distraught by this red wire on the ceiling. I was did that red wire ever get painted over? Or Dave, do you know if the red wire ever got painted over? It was a big ordeal.
I don't Brad know. Bell. Because the lights.
Are you messing with Brad right now?
He doesn't listen.
It was pretty dim in there, so I did not notice.
All right.
The heater was really loud, though. I did notice that. The heater
I do have
was
Dale
off,
said that the he- it was so hot.
It was
in that-
hot, and for the first time, it was actually hot in that building. Because it is ice cold because it's so industrial and cement and.
Kevin, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just gonna say I know I'm leaving anybody else out that killed themselves to get this place done, but I know every time I talk to Liz Sather, Dave Sather's husband wife, he was always working. Like, he's just been working his tail off.
Oh yeah, so is Dave Johnson. I stopped by to fix the junior high room up, and Dave was always there.
Yeah.
And both Daves were always there, and they had a couple volunteers as well. I knew that one of the volunteers dropped his junior high girls off at the mission trip that we did just so he could work at the Clovis campus.
Wow.
And Brian Ross was there, I think, towards the end of it.
Yeah.
And there was just a big work day on Saturday. Yep. And Tim Getz did a great job. Andrew Young, the general contractor, he was awesome on it. It was a great ordeal. Mm-hmm. And we will talk about the art pieces in the next coming segment. But before we do, Sarah... in my opinion, I would say even if you go to North Campus, check out the Clovis campus. Yeah. Don't just, like, pass it off just because you go to North. Like, not to say you have to church hop or whatever, but appreciate what people did. Enjoy a different experience and see something new. If you go to North, it will be like you're in the exact same sanctuary.
Just a little bit smaller.
Yeah, but it looks very similar to North. So check it out if you haven't.
The colors are a little lighter.
A little lighter.
And it's also just fun to go to another campus that you normally go to just to see what... Yeah. The other feels are, and
if you keep going to Clovis, know that there we're going to still be working on a couple things.
We're getting an iHub installed next week.
Yeah, so there'll be a couple things that you'll start noticing over the next couple weeks, but check it out. And If you were there, you would have noticed some art pieces, and we'll talk about those next with Casey Jackson. How does that sound?
That sounds, oh, great.
It does sound wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, right. I was going to say wonderful, and I said, all right.
Narcissism coming out a little bit. Huh? I'm going to sound wonderful, so. Yeah. All right, stay tuned for that. We are back, and one quick note before we get back into things here. Casey was on the show last week, and we typically don't get emails anymore because we're not doing certain things, but we did get an email this last week I thought was interesting, and involves our very own Kevin Tinkin. And got an email.
That's you, bud.
And the email was from Melissa Denisi. Jane got the
Melissa,
same email.
Yeah. And, Melissa, said, sorry.
Okay.
Melissa! Sorry.
Okay, I'm listening to the Spoutcast, and about minute 12, Kevin says, what? And she said, it sounds just like Lil Wayne, and then she goes, or is it Lil John? Question mark.
What?
She's so funny.
You guys have to cut that out as a soundbite for your show. So funny. And then she talked about Santino because we chatted about Santino.
Yeah, we gave Santino.
But I did pull
out
the clip, and I thought it was pretty funny. If you listen pretty carefully, Kevin does sound like Dave Chappelle from when he does the Little John thing, where he goes, "What?" So listen up to the clip, and that's like maybe something I want to bring up. Well, Brad, I talked to him today, and he's like, "I'm just so flattered. That was like the best day." You know,
we were making jokes in the back, dude, the whole time, like that. What Jane just said, I was making jokes. Like, as Brad was back, he's like, man, people are mad. I was like, what? Give me a break. And he's like,
what?
I didn't realize I did
that. What are we going to call you now? Are we going to nickname you because of that?
No.
Lil John?
I thought it was funny. But enough about Kevin. All right, guys.
Back to you, Christian.
Let's chat about
another Old Spice commercial.
Let's chat
back
about Casey
you.
Over
back
here.
Back to me.
Because Casey, we got a glimpse of your life and your graphic designness and the April Fools and all of the above. And one of the reasons we wanted to bring you back, because if you're at church on Sunday, you notice some awesome new art panels. And I have only seen the art panels at North. Are they different at any of the other campuses? Or
no, they're all the same.
All the same.
Yeah,
okay.
The layouts are a little different just because the walls are...
Right, but all the same, tiles. Yep. Maybe give an explanation of the different tiles, and let's start with the one pun there. Just let's start with the one with basically the woman or the man pushing a button.
Yeah,
let's start with that one.
That is definitely a man's hand pressing a doorbell.
If it was a woman's hand, I'd be a little nervous.
It's all one concept.
Okay, why don't you give the whole concept?
Yeah,
because
if I just do one, it'll
Let's talk the concept.
Basically, we as in Chris Hensley and I could, thought, you know, we needed to change our art panels, and so we decided to.
The previous art panels were the Anatomy of the Disciple panels.
Correct, yeah. And so we decided to go with Reach the One. It was something that was brought up and kind of a new kind of charging orders from Brad from, say, the church. And it's something that still kind of affected, you know, affects our staff, you know, affects, I think, the church and as a whole. And so we thought we haven't really done anything, you know, with art with that yet. So both of us almost, you know, in agreement, we just said, yeah, let's do that. And then so we kind of, we went away and thought about it and we came back together and started to discuss kind of what we were both thinking And we were just really on the same page.
I imagine when you say we went away, like you guys go up into the mountains like Batman with like it's snowing and you have your hood over and you got your, yeah. your stick.
Both
and,
of us came down yeah. glowing white. Yeah.
That's good.
Bible jokes. So you guys came back together.
Yeah, so came back together and we just kind of, you know, wanted to come with one cohesive kind of idea. And both of us wanted to do something with, you know, reaching the one and connection using fabric and end up being screws. So then once we started to...
Was like, there a reason behind the screws?
Honestly, it was really not to do nails.
Yeah.
At first it was nails. And then after I sort of think about it, like I didn't want people to think nails and Jesus on the cross. Cause yeah. that was not the idea. Point.
Correlation.
Yeah.
So basically like, so the concept started with, we had the panels painted black.
Okay.
And that was kind of now like it's like we're born in sin and we're just black, empty, just like there's no life. It's colorless. And, mm-hmm. and then we made, a grid and, created the word one and also the number one out of screws on the black panel and with black screws.
Was this something that Hale helped you with?
Yeah. Yeah. And Hale, so Chris,
Hale is our facility director.
Yeah. And then, so the three of us kind of, we spent about 2 days just, you know, using power drills, getting the screws in there. And that was just the process we used. We went and instead of saying the amount of screws by numbers, we used, we can count it by pounds. So we used, about 13 and a half pounds of, wow. of screws in all three of those. So when you looked at the panels without any of the yarn in it, mm-hmm. it was still like really cold and just empty still with these black screws. So it still had that kind of idea, like, you know, in our lives, like we are very complicated individuals, but we're still lifeless, you know, mm-hmm. and so the yarn is representing of God, like he, when he comes in, like he wants to have, and he desires to have a personal relationship with us and have like every little part of our lives. And so that kind of like, so God has to be involved in, you know, every little, you know, quote unquote, like, you know, little screws, like those,
yeah, every
those
little
points.
Detail,
yeah. Yeah. In our lives. And so once that happens and, you know, we just have, now this desire, like we, you know, we need to live in community and we need to, you know, affect other people. And so the yarn, you know, if we just keep it to ourselves, it doesn't really do anything. Like you can be, you know, become stagnant. And so like right. the idea of reaching the one is like, you know, it's a commission by God for, you know, us to go and, you know, reach other people, you know, to bring them life too. Cause we have all these, you know, these panels out there
right.
of people who are just completely, you know, they're just dead. You know, and they need God to, you know, to just get in every part of their lives to completely change them. And, you know, so they, you know, say so the idea is like, we have to, you know, reach the one, like we can go out, you know, Brad has an incredible gift of, you know, of teaching and he can go in front of a lot of people and, but he still, you know, goes to coffee with one person.
Right.
Cause that's really important. And so that's, you know, our idea, like we have to go out and do that too.
And it's not just a thing from the staff.
Yeah,
it's like no, from the staff down, yeah. Needs to transfer into the body of Christ mm-hmm. and the body of believers there for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, and you know we're called, you know, to live in community and not on our own. And
so, what know. Inspired the connecting of the two art pieces?
Yeah, so that was like without like if you, you know, take scissors and just cut them, like they would just swing apart. And so without right. God, like we have no connection with
That's
other people.
Cool.
Gotcha.
And so it's, you know, someone who, you know, doesn't have a relationship with God, they can ring a doorbell and they can bring food over, but it's just being social and I'm just having, you know, but there's just no life in it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And then so, you know, with God, it just brings that kind of life of community and, you know, and that.
So there's yeah. the doorbell.
So that, yeah, doorbell. And then the other one is the,
anatomy.
The anatomy of the disciple and a napkin. It's like it's. you know, two people kind of sharing coffee together. And
yeah.
And it takes a conversation to say, you know, because I had the screws go around the center, the human,
humbly submitted.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. you know, it starts there.
At the core.
And again, like even with Anatomy of the Disciple, like someone can be, you know, culturally engaged, but not humbly submitted. And there's just nothing there. And so it has to start with the center. And so it's just, you know, it's all a, you know,
all interconnected
all,
there.
All connected, yeah.
Now, the photo of the people having coffee, is that you and Chris Hensley?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean it was a setup and I had yeah. to, you know. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if that was like just a candid photo that somebody took and you just ripped it off of somebody or you guys actually doctored that photo.
Yeah, it was
behind the scenes.
Yeah, okay. It was behind the scenes, yeah. Well, it's, you know, it was more of like I wanted to have the idea of it can happen anywhere and you can have coffee in a coffee shop, you can have it at home, you can go out in the park. I mean, it's just like it just represents I am taking time with somebody over something so simple as coffee and I can
right.
and because of my relationship with God can completely change this person's life.
Right.
And really has nothing to do with me except for me taking the time to do it. So
mm-hmm.
whose finger and doorbell is it?
Jesse.
Wilson?
Yeah.
Jesse, I'm really sorry.
It was
oh my gosh, I said I'd be worried if it was a woman's hand. Oh
no, it was a close up and you know, it's something that I think, you know.
Jesse, I think your hands are beautiful.
I said, why didn't you respond, Casey?
You didn't say anything. Oh my gosh, I just turned 5 shades of red.
Uh-huh. And Jesse listens every week.
I know, Jesse, I'm really sorry. Hey, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
No, let's keep talking about this.
No, let's not.
Wait, did you know? Did you realize it? When she said it, I said, I think it's a woman's hand, and she's all to guy's hand.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't want to bring too much.
I knew it.
Good pod, guys.
I've known it like since it was said, like I just felt
gosh.
It. And then I was just like, in case you didn't say anything, I was just like,
All right. So what was your question?
Okay.
Jane?
On the the one with all the yarn.
Mm-hmm. The one with the man's hand?
No.
All right. Sorry.
Is there any reason why you left yarn hanging at the bottom?
Oh yeah,
and
that was a multicolored one.
Yeah, that was multicolored. That was just, you know, more of just an aesthetic kind of looking one.
Gotcha.
And then, that one, like once it was finished, and then we were gonna, you know, looking at it and seeing the car and, you know, the yarn and, you know, thinking we should cut it off or not, and it just looked like it was like this beautiful piece, but has a little bit of chaos still left in it. It's just cool. Like I just liked the idea of like it just wasn't finished.
Yeah.
In a way, and it was it's a standalone piece,
right?
And so, you know, I think
so. The only ones, and you said they're all set up differently at each campus, but the only ones that are interconnected are the man's doorbell hand one, and then the other one with the one and the Anatomy of a Disciple.
Yeah.
So at other campuses, there's not other ones interconnected.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So each campus has
their own one. Yeah, if you have not seen these art pieces, they're
really cool.
Great. And so good pod, right, Kevin?
I feel terrible.
Now, Casey,
there she goes spouting her mouth off again in the spoutcast.
Now, is there anything that if somebody were to, you just described the concept of the art pieces in, you know, 10 minutes, let's just say, or 7 minutes. If someone were to take their friend to church or tell somebody who listens to the show who wants to explain it, what are some things they may want to point out or just like, here's, because our heart really is not just to be these pieces that are just up there for you to look at in your own pleasure. It's to explain them to other people, to see the concept behind it. And how would somebody explain it in, you know, under a minute? If that's even possible.
Yeah, no, I think if, you know, I look at the powerful part for me is the connection, is them being connected. And
right.
then imagining that, you know, gravity taking over and cutting those, you know, those strings in the middle, there's just no connection anymore
right.
between, you know, each other. And so, you know, God says, you know, reach for the one. And it's like, you know, he uses us as tools, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, yeah.
Well, if you have friends out there and you're listening to the show and like, well, I wonder what the art piece is. This is a great way for us to get more listeners and hear a funny story that Jane just did.
Gosh,
so,
Jesse, I'm so sorry.
You should make her cookies.
I'll cover the phones for you on Tuesday.
Well, Casey, thanks for coming by and explaining the art panels and the art pieces. And if you do see Casey at church or Chris at church or Hale at church, give him a pat on the back and say, good job. Is that fair?
Handshake. Could work also. Give him a hug.
Whatever. And everybody feel deeply sorry for Jesse because up next, guys, we got some announcements. And
we'll close out the show.
Let me reintroduce myself.
All right, we are back, and Sarah's going to give us some announcements, but Kevin came up with a really creative idea that I thought would be funny.
Well, I thought there'd be a saving grace for old Jane over here.
Old Jane?
Old judgmental Jane.
You guys, please.
OJJ.
Bury it.
I'm sorry. So OJ squared. I thought we'll take a picture of all of our fingers that are here today, and you have to pick out the girl fingers.
I should have painted my nails.
And then what this will do is it'll show.
We'll see if people can tell the difference.
So what had happened was.
So then if
people get it wrong, you'd be like, see, Jane is, it happens.
Yeah. So we'll take a picture of
we'll
our fingers
on the Facebook,
and I'll put a number on each of the fingers, and you have to essentially number the corresponding finger to the person. Make sense?
Yep.
So we'll do that this week, and we'll also on our Instagram we'll post a photo of the pictures or the panels at least at the North Campus, so you guys can at least look at them. Sarah, why don't you hit us up with some announcements?
We don't have too many this week, but first one, come by the Clovis Campus at either 9 or 11 on a Sunday morning and come check out the new sanctuary because a lot of people worked really hard on it, and it is beautiful. So come check it out. And then May 19th is our next discovery class. So if you're interested in learning more about the well, come join us. We will give you breakfast and lunch. And it is a class hosted by Brad Bell, and he talks about who we are and what we believe and why. And if you want to do that, sign up at your closest iHub.
During the time that you were talking, everybody was staring at their fingers.
I know.
And they're like, is my finger going to be good for
Does
the photo?
Does my finger look like a girl's finger?
Do my nails look masculine or feminine?
Casey, congrats on being two episodes in a row. Mm-hmm. Probably won't see you until next spring break. So basically, the only times you can come in is when your wife is off of work, right?
Yeah.
So it's great seeing you.
So we'll see you over the summer.
Yeah, the summer.
Oh,
maybe.
Cool. Maybe if you play your cards right.
So, Casey, thanks for stopping by, man. The panels are great. Let me give you a pat on the back, okay?
Oh, thank you.
All right. Yeah. All right, this is The Spout, and
we're out.
And you can take this however you want. Yeah, you can take this however you want. Don't be so sure. This is all it adds up to.